The significance of our Lord's baptism is clearly evidenced by the fact that all four of the writers of the Gospels record it. It's important. It's extremely important because baptism is the gateway. It is the front door into Christianity. Now, interestingly enough, if you read all four of the accounts, today's story in John's Gospel is not the real-time account of Jesus' baptism like we have in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, but it is after the fact. Now baptized, Jesus had been baptized, and then he was driven by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted for 40 days and 40 nights. He has now returned, and the next day he comes to the Jordan where John the Baptist is baptizing those for repentance and preparation for the Messiah. And when John sees him coming from a distance, he proclaims these words to the crowd: "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." My dear friends, this is one of the most profound statements in the Scripture. And it's interesting, when Jesus comes back the next day, guess what? John says the same thing: "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." These words that are proclaimed by John are so immortal, they're so life-giving, so eternal, that they are said at every time that we celebrate the Holy Mass. Do you know where that is in the Mass when we say those words? We'll be listening for it in a few moments, and you'll hear it. In the remaining moments that I have, I'd like to share with you two important points on the sacrament of baptism, which are accepted primarily only in the Catholic Church. Now, there are some Christian communities today who consider Catholic baptism not to be valid, means that it's not valid. And that's why when Catholics leave their faith and they join another Christian community, their baptism oftentimes is not recognized, and they are informed that they must be baptized in what is considered to be the right way, the way that they consider to be. So essentially what they're saying is that the Catholic baptism doesn't count. Now, that's a whole lot to think about. That's a whole lot to give up, and I think that requires some serious consideration. And that's what I want us to do, is look at a couple of those points this evening. But realize that I'm not here to judge anybody regarding their beliefs. And please understand this. This issue has been on the board for a long time. And I'm not saying that I have all of the answers to these questions. But I do think it's important that we explore our faith and understand what it is that we profess to be true as Catholics. Two points. First of all, there are three valid forms of baptism. You know what they are? Well, the first one is immersion. That's when a person is totally immersed under the water. The second, which is more common in the Catholic Church, is what we call pouring. That's when water is poured over the head three times in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And then the third valid form of baptism is when a person is sprinkled with water, when they take an aspergillum and they sprinkle them, or they sprinkle water over their head. Now, some Christian communities today, they only accept immersion as a valid baptism, and they do not recognize pouring, or infusion as it's called, and sprinkling as valid. And I will say this, I would agree that there is symbolic meaning to immersion. It is an example of Jesus's and our own going into the water. It represents the death, the burial, and then when you come out of the water, it represents the resurrection. So there is a lot of symbolic meaning that goes along with immersion. But the question is that necessary in order for a baptism to be valid? You know, that's the question. And the Catholic Church would say no, no. Here's a few thoughts to consider this evening about it. The Greek word for baptism is baptizo. That's the word. And people typically interpret that to mean immersion. But guess what? it means it's much broader than that. As a matter of fact, even within the scripture itself, we hear the word baptizo used when Jesus meets with the Pharisees to have dinner with them, and they wash their hands in a ritualistic way. It says they were baptizo. They washed their hands, not their whole body. Here's another question. What do you do if immersion is impractical or it's impossible? Maybe you're bedridden. Maybe you're near death. Or here's a good one. What if you're living in the desert and there's not a whole lot of water to be done to be able to be baptized? I like when we think about the tradition of the church and carrying on the history of the church and how it conducted itself after Jesus came. I like a couple of quotes that come out of some of our historical recordings. One is in 215, a man named Pope Cornelius I. He was writing about a person named Novatian. And guess what? Novatian received baptism in bed by pouring. Why? Because he was about to die. And then about 35 years later, a man named Saint Cyprian, he writes a letter and says that the sick are to be poured upon or sprinkled in order to receive the Lord's grace. And here's another interesting fact, just for you to think about it, is there's also artistic evidence today that other forms of baptism besides immersion was very valid. If you go back to some of the earliest Christian artwork, here's what you find, and you've probably seen it before. People standing in the river and water being poured over their head. And even if you go back into the catacombs, those are some of the earliest days of the Christian faith. Even in those days, you find pictures painted on the walls of the catacombs that show this very exact thing happening. And here's another interesting point. Archaeology. When archaeologists were digging in the small town we know as Nazareth, which was Jesus's home, they uncovered from the second century a baptistry, which they immediately recognized it was definitely not big enough for anybody to step into and to be immersed. So while immersion and pouring and sprinkling are recognized today in the Catholic Church as being valid forms, as being very valid forms of baptism, the current code of canon law, which was updated in 1983, it records that when baptism today is done within the church, it is to be normally conferred by two different ways. One is immersion, or the other is pouring. And that's why if you look at our baptistry, what do you see? You see a font, and you see a pool, one for pouring and one for immersion. It didn't just happen that way, but it's very particular. And I'll also say this as I close on this point, that there are what are considered to be extraordinary circumstances when baptism is to take place, but a couple of them is the baptism of desire. Have you ever heard of that one? That's if someone is immediately in death and there's not time to do it. Or there's the other one called the baptism out of necessity, dire necessity. Those are some other extraordinary means, you might call it, to baptism, but we'll talk about those at another time. The second important point on baptism for Catholics is that infants can be baptized. That's really important. And the words that really sum that up are found in the 19th chapter of Matthew. Listen to what Jesus said. The disciples were always discouraging him from taking care, being loving to the children. You know, they were considered to be distraction. But what did Jesus say? He said, "Let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." There Jesus says, "I love them just as much as I love you." So it's important that children be baptized because it initiates them into the vast riches of the Christian life. Well, now how does that work? Because they're not aware let alone infants can't speak. They can't talk to articulate thoughts and things like that. So how does infant baptism work? Well, let me give it to you in a nutshell, because it's important to understand this. See, children, infants, are baptized in the faith of the church through a faith that is proclaimed for them by their parents and their godparents. That's why when we look at formators of children, we not only look at the parents, but we also need godparents to help and to help them to develop and form into what it is that God wants them to be. And so that's why it becomes vitally essential that we help, that we assist that individual in being formed in their faith. And that's really important. And what happens over time as the child grows up, as they mature, there comes a time when they make their own personal profession or of their faith. You know what that's called? We're getting ready to celebrate it. Yeah, we're getting ready to celebrate it here in just a little while, all of our eighth graders. It's called the Sacrament of Confirmation. And that's where you have now grown up and you've discerned and you say, yes, this is what I want. And you accept, and they accept the faith ultimately for themselves. But it's a beautiful thing. And there's one other little piece that goes with forming children that I think is very important. It has to do with the parish. One of the reasons we are here, one of the very important reasons for the life of the parish is to form children. It's to help form children to become strong in their faith. I always enjoy the 10:30 Mass when we have the Liturgy of the Word, because we call the children forth. Why do we do that? Well, so that they can go out and they can learn the gospel readings and the readings of the day at their level. And that's really important. And then we invite them to come back after that so that they can participate in the Mass and see what's going on in the Mass. But that's forming children is what it's doing. And that has been done ever since the beginning of the early church. And I want to thank you because you have a part in that. There's a lot of responsibility that comes with baptism. Some of the statements or some of the questions that I ask parents and godparents when they have their children baptized, they're serious. Well, are you going to accept? Are you willing to accept the responsibility of forming your child in the faith? Well, that's a big thing. That's a really big thing. But it's also not only a responsibility, but it is a privilege. And that's one of the joyful things about it. So I'd like to leave you with two thoughts for reflection this evening. If you have children that have not been baptized, I strongly encourage you to have them baptized. It's vitally essential to their well-being. And the second thing is this. This is to parents, godparents, parish community. It's to everyone who is assembled here this evening. I encourage you to be faithful in seeing that every child is spiritually nourished through the life of the parish. And I want to thank you for your sacrificial commitment in making this parish a loving community where children and adults can come and they can be formed in their faith. It's that important. God bless all of you.